Welcome to Is This Scary?
This is Phil.
This is Shelby.
This is Zach. And this is the 2-year anniversary episode of the podcast.
Yay!
It's relatively close to the date.
It's close enough, and if any of you complain about it, we're posting the episode anyway.
It's within 30 days.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yes. So, what we're going to do this time around is actually the movie that gave Phil and I the idea for the podcast, because we were just hanging out and we got together and we're like, hey, The Forest is a decent horror movie, right? I remember that being really good. So we sat down to watch it, and it wasn't.
Natalie Dormer is the best part of the movie.
And you guys were just get together, like a game night or something like that. And you guys started talking, and I literally just interjected myself into your conversation. I was like, horror movies? What? I was like that annoying like neighbor, like, when we doing it? We're doing it right now? Okay, let's go.
Yeah. So if anyone was interested in how Shelby joined the podcast, Shelby invited herself and insisted on being a part.
And it was good because she lit the fire under us to actually get working on it.
Correct. Because we'd had the idea for at least 6 months before Shelby got wind of it.
I was like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do this right now. I think it was like maybe like a couple weeks later.
No, yeah, no, we did it immediately afterwards.
All Zach and I did at that point in time was watch The Forest and have notes for The Forest.
And that was it. Since lost.
Oh, yeah.
No, it was just one of those weird like group memories that you have without realizing that you have it. Because both Phil and I were originally talking about going, no, it was a solid horror movie. It's well written. It's competent. It's competent. There was a writer.
Yeah.
He got paid. Or she got paid. I didn't look that much up.
I'm not that worried about it.
Written by Ben, Sarah, and Nick. They got paid.
Wow. There are three writers on this train wreck.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's about three more writers than it needed.
It needed at least one of them. So anyway, The Forest is a 2016 supernatural horror film directed by Jason Zada. So the main character is, well, main characters are played by Natalie Dormer. Mm-hmm. She plays twins Sarah and Jess. And then you have Taylor Kinney as resident untrustful man Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think it's Eon Mackin as Sarah's husband, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Yukiashi
Ozawa as Michi. And then there are other people in this movie, but they don't play significant roles.
Yeah. And Michi is the guide within the forest.
Yes. He's the expert that... He's the obligatory expert in this movie that gets ignored. Because that's the thing that you have in a lot of horror movies.
Yeah. I'm fascinated and in love with the amount of notable Japanese actors and actresses that show up in this movie taking place in the Japanese suicide forest. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the actual name of the forest. We said it a minute ago.
It's Akigahara.
Yeah, Akigahara. Thank you.
Also, and I guess trigger warning.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Trigger warning for thoughts of unaliving yourself or talking of that, because this is a well-known forest that bad things happen. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, if you were wondering, the one notable Japanese actor in this movie, we just mentioned, he's the only one.
Yep.
Michi's good, though.
No. Yeah. Michi.
This, he's not a German philosopher.
Not the German philosopher.
Not the German philosopher.
Hey, but he was dropping truth bombs, I'm just saying.
This movie had a budget of $10 million.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought back in the box office $37.6 million.
Okay.
That's a flop.
Yeah, it made its money back, but just barely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, I mean, the basic, I guess, plot for this is Sarah, she's over in the States, not really, or we don't know where she is. Probably in London. I'm not sure.
No, she's in the U.S.
Oh, she is U.S. Yeah. I keep on, but she's English actress, so I always automatically go that she's English. Yeah. But she has her twin senses are tingling.
Well, she does get a call from the Japanese police.
Right.
And they tell her that Jess has gone into Akigahara because they're like, people unalive themselves in this forest. Usually after 48 hours, they've done the deed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we do get... This movie is full of just twin precognition in the most irritating way because none of it makes any sense.
Right.
Because, well, it makes sense. Something has to drive the plot.
I guess because the authorities and her husband both go, hey, Sarah... She's most likely dead. And she just goes, no, nope. Twin powers say she's alive. I know she's alive. I'm going to Japan.
Overnight. Oh. Overnight. You okay. Got money.
Oh, you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
She rents a penthouse room in whatever hotel she ends up with.
She got
that view of Tokyo. That's like... a $3,000 or $4,000 a night room.
Yeah.
Easy.
But she shops smart. She don't bring that much with her.
She's on a rescue mission.
Oh, yeah. And
I thought you were going to say
shop smart. Not spots, but.
Shop smart.
Shop smart.
But yeah, she gets the call that her sister is missing because she's a teacher in Japan. And her spidey senses are tingling, and so she goes and she visits the school. They are scared crapless out of her because they're like, oh, they think that she's a ghost,
right.
And or even worse, I can't remember what they call them, but pretty much just like angry ghosts, like angry spirits, mm-hmm. That can be very avengeful. So, and again, she's constantly told, like, she's dead. The likelihood that she'll even find her body is very minimum.
The Yori.
Yeah. Oh. And, yeah. And so, I mean, she doesn't listen. So she's like, no, I'm determined. But she doesn't have that, like, I was expecting... I mean, Natalie Dormer is a great actress, but I was expecting her to be like, no, I'm like, she just like seemed bored. So it's like, but I mean, that kind of comes into play, like why she's acting like this, because I guess in the past, Jess has had problems with the law.
Jess is the family screw up.
Yeah, she's definitely the black sheep. And you see that the way that they've designed her, because you do see a lot of black, flashbacks with her. She's definitely like the goth of the sisters.
Yeah, so you get Sarah is the blonde haired, blue eyed twin, and Sarah has brown hair and brown eyes. So, you know, it's, mm-hmm. And like they said, the color tones they use for both of them, a lot of Sarah has a lot of brighter, more pastel colors, mm-hmm. And everything on Sarah is darker colors and some blacks. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they were going for the yin yang.
Mm hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she gets to a small, like, settlement area.
Well, she goes to Akihara. Yeah. So, yeah, she gets to the tiny hotel, mm-hmm. outside of the forest.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she finds a guide. Finds, well, Aiden.
Who has a guide.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But the first thing she does once she gets into the area is, as she's checking in, the lady at the front desk goes, oh, I know where your sister is.
Mm-hmm.
She's down here in the basement in our corpse storage room. Okay.
Yeah. And also mentioning, like, oh, that they corpses gotta scream. Catch them all.
Oh, yeah. If they're left alone, they scream. So there's always a guard outside, yeah. of the morgue.
Yeah.
Who's sitting there with headphones in.
Like playing on his phone.
Yeah.
Right.
So, of course, he's paying attention.
Yeah. She gets a quick scare. It's not her sister. So her determination's even stronger.
Yeah.
But she's still laid back. think she, the whole time she's thinking that her sister's going to pop up and her sister's going to be like, oh, Jess, I didn't know you were coming here, and just be very laid back. And then Sarah would be disappointed that she traveled all this way. So it's kind of like petty sister stuff. Mm-hmm. So
then she starts, she's got nothing else to do in this tiny town. So she goes to the bar.
Mm-hmm. She goes to the bar. She meets Aiden. He is a traveling journalist photographer. And but he's also done like other things, but my red flags are immediately going. I don't trust Aiden as far as I can throw him. I was like, uh-uh. He does too much. Also, his Japanese is really, really good.
Yeah.
I was like, uh-uh. No, I don't trust him. And
but he's also Australian, so.
Right. And it's like, I mean, it's nothing against Australian, but
well,
it's like,
he's an American working for an Australian magazine.
Right. But he's in Japan. Okay.
His story was very convoluted.
Got it. And then, so she, he's inspired by her story. So she tells some story, some backstory about herself and her sister, which obviously as the audience, we're seeing that she is twisting the truth a little bit. She's actually straight up lying at points about a childhood trauma.
No, there's no points. It's just
straight up lying.
Yeah. And so we're seeing a little bit of her past, and that's also feeding more to the fire that she's been told by many different people that if you go into the forest, pretty much you need to have happy thoughts because the forest manipulates sad thoughts and memories.
Especially if you go off the path. What they tell her is, it's, look, the only people that should be going off the path are very mentally healthy people. People that are ready to deal with the forest messing with them psychologically.
Yeah.
None of the things that she is.
Yeah.
She's woefully unprepared.
Whoa. Are you saying this woman that just up and left her husband because her twin powers decided to show up? You think she's mentally unstable?
Right. So anyway.
Sorry.
We get to the next red flag with Aiden. And as she tells her whole story, Aiden just goes, oh, hey. I know a professional forest guide. I am going into forest with said forest guide tomorrow morning. I mean, like, what are the odds of all of this stuff just lining up, stacking perfectly?
Yep. So.
And then we meet the coolest character in the film.
Yeah.
Michi.
He is just like, no bull crap. He's just like, we're staying on the path. Just like.
Well. He's a suicide watch guy.
Yeah.
Because he goes in and looks for the bodies. So what he tells you, he'd be like, we are going off the path. You're going to stay within 5 feet of me at all times. And when I tell you that we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't come with me, I will leave you here because I'm not sleeping here. I don't want to die.
Right.
And given that that was his opening monologue to this lady, all of her actions afterwards make me think that she has no survival instinct.
Right.
Because the guy that's been wandering through the forest for years will not sleep there. That is a central plot point.
Yeah. And, I mean, certain things happen across the way that first day that they are looking for Chess. They find a guy that's just sitting in a tent. And Michi goes and talks to him, and he's like, oh, he's good.
He's going
to
be fine.
He's going to be fine, and
They give you the understanding that if you bring a tent, then you're going to be there for a few days. You're usually thinking about it.
Yeah.
That's critical for later.
Right. And then they also find, like, markers along the way to either help loved ones find bodies or help people find their way out of the forest.
Right.
So you're finding a lot of string or rope that's tied to trees to have a trail.
Mm-hmm.
And they also find a body as well.
And in the most unrealistic scene in the movie, Aiden and Michi cut the body down.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. They would be covered in all sorts of terrible bodily fluids if they did that.
Yeah.
They would have both stunk to high heaven.
Yeah, that was something. That was one of the main things, I guess, to kind of go back to Natalie or Jess's or Sarah's character in this. Like, she's got that. She's already got, like, that bored. Like, she's kind of almost out of it. She's just like, or do you even really care? Like, I would feel at this point the tension should already be building. She's been told, like, your sister's missing. She's going to a place where people literally unalive themselves. That's what it's known for. And then you find a body, yet she's not reacting.
I would say at that point, for most people, when you've been told at this point at least half a dozen times that your sister, who you're looking for right now, might have unalived herself, mm-hmm. and you find a dead body that went in that fashion.
Right.
That would break most people.
Yeah. She would either freak out, I need to leave. She would have just like a moment where she maybe like gets sick to her stomach and she's like freaking out. Maybe we get another vision of a flashback or something. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then, or she's like, we need to move. We need to go. We need to move faster.
Which is kind of what happens in a subtle way.
Right.
Because she does become more determined after they find the body, but it's not an extreme reaction.
Yeah, we get more of an extreme reaction when they find Jess's tent.
Which they shortly do after they find the body.
Yes. Yeah. They find the tent, and that's when Sarah puts her foot down it, and she's like, I'm staying here. This is my sister's tent. These are her clothes. I am staying here. And Michi's like, no. But he's also like, I ain't staying here. If you guys want to stay here, you guys can stay here.
Bye. Back in the morning.
I will enter the forest at first light, and I'll walk back over here. I will look for you in the morning.
Yep.
But I'm going home.
Yep. And, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when more fun stuff occurs. Yeah,
this is when the creepiness, starts...
Ramping up.
Ramping up, because... She's having, like, hallucinations, a lot of more flashbacks. Like, obviously, this is when the forest is really starting to pick in her brain mm-hmm. and starting to manipulate past things with her. And Aiden is also being super creepy, too. This is the start of his super creepiness at this point. And I think, when did she just, like, freaking just run for it? I can't remember. Like, she...
Pretty much.
I think she starts hearing things.
Well, yeah, she starts hearing things.
We need to, for the first way that the forest messes with her, we actually skipped a jump scare. But so when she's staying in the kind of janky hotel, she has to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And she turns on the lights in the hallway.
Of course, it's crappy lights.
They are, yes, they're your horror movie reliable lights, so they flicker and they're creepy and green mm-hmm. because it's a horror movie.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets all the way down the hallway, almost to the bathroom, and then old lady jump scare happens.
See, I liked this jump scare though because I was expecting it, yes, but I was expecting old lady just pops right in front of the camera. No, she comes from behind the camera, and it's like, it was the angle. So that, I wasn't expecting that. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll give that a pass. But yes, the jump scares in itself are like, you can see them coming from a mile away.
And it wasn't the old lady one, I think. Mm-hmm. Did that get you?
In the hallway?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, since I'd seen the movie before, I remembered that one. Because that's the big one, really. But there was one later in the movie that got both me and Shelby. But that was just because it was ultra cheap. It's one of the... It's that perfectly placed Ooga Booga style jump scare right in your face.
Mm.
And it's one of those that if you don't remember it or you're not expecting it, you're a human being, your body reacts to it. And it immediately feels cheap afterwards.
Yeah. It's like
all right, you got me.
I feel nasty about myself. Let me go take a sad shower.
I need to wash off the sadness.
Yeah. So anyway, the first thing that she gets is the hands running along the backside of the tent.
Yeah.
And then she opens it, and there are three creepy old ladies, and they rush her into another jump scare, and she wakes up.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, forgot to mention, the tent she's sleeping in, I don't understand why this is the tent that Jess chose. Because this is the play tent from when they were children.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sleep in a creepy forest in Japan where it rains all the time, and I'm not going to take a real tent. What?
This tent is not going to work. I mean, it's smart because people will be able to find it a lot more easier in comparison to like a neutral tone tent, but still, it's not going to protect you from the rain. And
what tent are we looking for? The bright yellow one.
The bright yellow one.
Why are you sleeping in a high viz?
Anyway. And then...
I think...
This is when Aiden starts getting super aggressive because he hears her and she wakes him up.
Yeah. And I think she runs out. No.
That's later.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember when she first sees the girl. I think it's in the night. She
hears something else in the night.
Yeah, because she keeps on hearing screaming at some point.
Yeah.
And
you're right. Yeah, so she wakes up and exits the tent. Okay, she doesn't wake Aiden up yet. She wakes him up when she comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, she just wanders off into the dark forest.
Because she thinks with her
With her handy-dandy iPhone that does not lose charge.
Right. Because she thinks she sees Jess.
Yeah.
And so she goes off and finds this girl in a school uniform.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she keeps on telling her, don't trust him.
Yeah. Hoshiko.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Real quick, I'm sorry if we butcher any of these names.
We will.
Yeah. Apologize, though.
But, yeah, so apparently, yeah, Hoshiko says, oh, I know Miss Jess. And then turns around and sprints off into the forest in the dark. Yeah. And so Jess is trying to keep up with her, and she trips and eats it, and then somehow, because she is not a trained pathfinder or anything, but is able to make her way back to the tent.
Right.
So, they wake up, and despite Jess being so adamant about staying in the forest and looking for her sister, Aiden is able to talk her into leaving the forest with him.
Yeah, he's like, we're going back.
Because she falls and cuts her hand.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's like, we need to go, I'm going to go back. And
this is when they get lost.
Yes, this is when they get lost, and she also notices that he's been recording her a lot more. And she takes offense to that, even though she did give him permission. She did give him permission to record herself late earlier on for her story.
I think she assumed he meant for that one conversation.
Yeah. And I think also now that she's upset and she's going through this emotional turmoil part, she's starting to not trust him, especially as she was told. But yeah, she's starting to get the this guy is not right.
This does lead to one scene that I always thought was interesting, which is the whole river scene where I really like
that scene.
Yeah,
we're talking about how showing Sarah losing her mind because she's like, you're taking us the wrong way. You're taking us the wrong way. Look at the river. It shows the river running one direction, and then Aiden sits there and goes, what river runs upstream, up the hill? And
we're
then
following it downstream to the river. The river will lead us to a main road.
And then she looks down, and it's running the other direction now.
Yeah. So then it's like, okay, is this him manipulating the forest, or is the forest manipulating her? So it's kind of like,
And I believe it's the forest
manipulating her.
Yeah.
Because what we get after that is, at this point, as she's becoming more unhinged, it's letting the forest in more.
Uh-huh.
And you start getting glimpses of bodies and, like, shadow figures in the background. The movie gets creepier and creepier at this point.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate some of the layering. It could have been done better.
Yeah.
But they're trying.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I mentioned it when we were watching it. I was like, please tell me that this scene happens. And there was a moment where I would have liked her, maybe like she's running through the forest. She's scared. Maybe she's trying to escape Aiden or something like that. And she just comes into a clearing and it's just bodies everywhere. It's not just like one or two. There's just bodies hanging on like every single limb. I would have loved that scene where she just freaks out. This is kind of like the peak of the tension. And then, so it's been building up this whole point, like maybe she's hearing her sister kind of like taunt her in the background, like, and this is when it leads to her to get to the cave. Like, because she falls down.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's how you would like her to get to the cave.
Yeah.
But, all right, so here's cool. How she gets to the cave.
Yeah.
So she doesn't trust Aiden, and she starts quickly walking away from him.
Mm-hmm.
This is her initial escape plan, is to mall walk away from Aiden.
I like how we both then start gesturing the mall walk.
Yes.
But as she starts to move away from Aiden, she gets a bunch of creepy voices at me. Jess. And then, you know, it's don't trust him. Turn around until there's a voice right behind her. And it's turn around. And she does. And there's a body hanging from a tree directly behind her. And she freaks out.
As one does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And sprints off and falls into a hole because there are a bunch of ice caves underneath the forest, and falls and sprains her ankle.
Yeah.
And gets knocked out cold because she just fell probably 15 feet.
Yeah. But she's fine and her iPhone still works. I tell you one thing, that iPhone, that unlimited charge.
They don't make iPhones like they used to.
I want that one iPhone from 2016. It's apparently the best one ever.
That flashlight lasts forever.
This is when she decides to start walking through this cave.
Yeah.
Which is a great idea. It's fantastic.
Oh, fun part is as soon as she wakes up in the cave, though, Hoshiko's back.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Hoshiko gets into the shadows, find out it's Yuri.
Yuri.
She's a Yuri.
Well, the thing about it, specifically, she starts following Hoshiko. And that's when, because Hoshiko is facing away from her.
Is this way.
Yeah. And they're both standing in the darkness now. And she turns around, and she's a Yuri, an angry spirit.
And her makeup is great.
Oh, yeah.
The makeup in this movie, just to give it a good pro, is awesome. I mean, the hanged man that she sees is amazing. If you want something to, I guess, because the head underneath is very sunken in because it's got a bag over its head. It's very similar to if you've seen Fear Street Part 2.
I was thinking the same
thing. Yeah, I mean, it's
Nightwing killer.
Yeah, I love the design of that. It's the everything, especially with Hoshiko, when she's at her like demonic point, she looks very wet. I like that idea. She looks very yellow and just like rotten on the inside.
Well, yeah, that's that traditional. She turns into your traditional Japanese like demonic ghost.
Yeah.
And they paid a lot of homage to that, and they did it well.
Yeah. And they did one thing that I like back going to the behind the scenes is there's a lot of layering in regards to the makeup. I mean, a lot of the, because they had a lot of older people, so it was a lot of extreme, like, wrinkles and just, like, busted capillaries and just, like, veins and stuff like that. So they're just very high colors of yellows and blues. A lot of grunge to it. So I really liked that they paid much detail to that. It was practical. It wasn't just like, oh, CGI.
And we found out watching the special features that the forest, which, oh, by the way, so Akigahara in this movie is played by a Bulgarian forest because they asked the Japanese government, hey, we're going to give you money so we can shoot, you know, in the unalive forest. And Japanese government went, ha, ha, oh, go away.
No amount of money is going to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And no other forest on the planet has this style of ice caves. So the ice caves in the movie is a set. And that set looks really good.
Oh, yeah. It looks great. I do want to throw out the going back to your like big open clearing mm-hmm. idea. The only issue with that is I don't think the Ikigahara has anything like that. Like it's
I was just thinking like almost like a circle of trees. Okay. That's what really thinking about. Okay. It's just like not like a big huge open area like a field or something.
Well, yeah, because it's called that forest is called the Sea of Trees because they say when you stand on top of Mount Fuji mm-hmm. and you look down at the forest, it's so dense it looks like the ocean.
Yeah, that's really what I was thinking about is like she gets into, comes around maybe through a bush or something and she just finds out that she's surrounded by just a circle of trees and there's just bodies everywhere, like so high up on the trees to the point where it's like unrealistic. There's no way that those bodies would have gotten those that high.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's also like this is just a smidgen of the amount of people that are here. So it's like, oh, you're being watched or something. Right. So it would have been a cool moment to also show more of the effects as well. You wouldn't even have to have like close-ups or anything like that. None of them, all of them don't have to have bags on their heads. You could just have close-ups of hands, feet, whatever. Trinkets that they left behind. Yeah. Just to get kind of the emotion going and the tension built up.
Yeah. So in this ice cave, she runs back to where she falls in, mm-hmm. starts yelling for Aiden, and Aiden shows up.
Real quick.
Yeah. They're not separated for long, and she gets him out, or he gets him out, and
he sits there and goes, I found this ranger,
the house.
Oh, yeah. I found this ranger station, this old cabin, and so she follows him to the cabin, and at the same time, Rob has shown up from the States because his wife is nuts, and he's worried that she's going to unalive herself for some reason.
Right.
Because, well, I would be too, because if my wife just
packed up her
stuff, I have to go to Japan and rescue my sister.
Well, I guess I'm coming with you.
Okay. Let's go.
Right. And
and he meets up with Michi, and they organize search parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are two things happening at this point. Is the authorities, Rob and Michi, are combing the forest, and Sarah and Aiden are at this ranger cabin.
Yeah.
And this is where she starts hearing noises from the other side of the door mm-hmm. that sounds suspiciously like her sister.
Yeah. And they're, like, passing notes underneath the door.
And this is where the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
Because the scene is stupid.
Well, we'll get to that scene. Because she gets told not to trust Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Again.
So she goes to the kitchen area and grabs a knife to defend herself. And scuffle occurs. And the knife ends up lodged somewhere in Aiden's abdominals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, no, she stabs him in the chest.
Yeah.
Because they end up wrestling for the knife, and he falls on the knife. Yeah. He's dead.
Yeah.
And then she gets the key and unlocks the door.
Which leads to a basement.
Yeah.
But not just any basement.
The basement of her childhood.
That's right.
Real quick, though. Like, she's sitting there accusing Aiden of locking Jess up in the cellar in behind that door, and he finally gives in and going, she's back there, and that's
but she's been dead for days,
and that's what spawns the fight is him finally like trying to get her to stop being crazy to him.
Yeah, because his initial reactions to I know you have my sister, he's sitting there going, I already told you never met your sister, okay,
right.
Which he was lying about. He has pictures of her on his phone.
Right.
But regardless, he's like, I don't have your sister.
But again, it's like, is that the forest making her see that? And we're seeing it through
her eyes. And that's the best part about it. Because of his extreme reaction later, we don't know the truth. And I do like the fact that the movie itself is an unreliable narrator.
Right. Yeah.
And we have, again, the real life flashback of how her parents died.
Right.
Yeah.
So her dad took a shotgun unalived her mom and unalived himself.
Yes.
And she originally told Aiden that they died in a car crash and that Jess saw
the bodies.
Saw the bodies, which correlates to what actually happened, and that Sarah closed her eyes.
So what happened was Grandma was babysitting the girls. Mm-hmm. Her parents came back. There's probably a basement entrance to the house.
Yeah.
Grandma hears the two shots go off in the basement and takes the girls with her, which I know. But anyway.
Yeah.
So Jess is first with Grandma and Jess sees the bodies. And then everybody runs back upstairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so she goes downstairs. And she sees her dad across the room. Mm-hmm. And her dad comes to life and crosses the room real quick and grabs her wrist. And this is Zach's favorite scene. You can hear it in his grumbles.
Just go.
My first time watching this movie, I thought she grabbed the knife and tried to stab the dad's hand. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. But the more you realize, look at it, she is trying to use the knife to pry his fingers off her.
Which, stop it, you're giving this movie way too much credit.
Really leads her to hurt
herself. Doesn't.
She doesn't?
Because she doesn't. If you watched the scene, and I went back and watched this on replay because it annoyed me so much. So Dad grabs her wrist. And right where his fingers are, she literally cuts in between his fingers because his hand isn't there. And that's what they are trying to portray. But they do it in such a blatantly terrible way. If you see it, it pulls you out of the movie because it's so unrealistic. The way to do that is she's like hacking at the back of his hand or something. Because you can make it look like she cuts him open. And then when the glamour or whatever you want to call it lifts, and she realizes that she's alone in the basement, she's just slashed her own wrist.
Right.
It's way more effective than watching her try to attack somebody in a way that no human being would attack another.
True. Right. So after this, she ups and runs out of the starts running out of the house. She
tries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And it's,
and
again, a lot of quick notes. I mean, you have this rescue party. They're leaving. And she
just hears everything now and starts running also.
Yeah. While she's like, they're all like in an assembly line here. As the party is literally at the exit, Jess is right there as well. And Sarah is not that far away from her, but Sarah is stopped very easily by the girl. And she's at her normal state now. And the girl's just like looking at her like a sad, like, oh, sad face.
And then Sarah looks down at her wrists. Then it cuts back to the basement because she never left the basement.
Mm-hmm. Right, because she's dead at the bottom of the stairs.
And she's bleeding out. And then it jumps back to her in the forest and she gets pulled under the ground.
Yep. So now she is one. There was a cool moment that kind of.
Where there were a bunch of just Yuri.
They're kind of like almost one with the trees. And I liked that part because it's just like, oh, she's becoming part of the forest now.
And then you have, like Phil was saying, the inexplicable arrival of Jess.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I hear people. They're looking for me. I need to leave. Mm-hmm. And she gets out of the forest.
And talks to Rob.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Rob happens to be standing right there.
Right.
And the Japanese authorities don't immediately grab this woman.
And
anyway.
They sit there and look at her and go, so we got to go back in the morning to find your sister. And she sits and goes, I don't hear anything.
Yeah, I can't hear her, I can't feel her.
My twin powers are not working.
I know she's gone.
So, obviously Sarah's dead. And then the last scene in the movie is Michi standing near the edge of the forest. and he sees this, what looks to be a person come up to the Force. It's Sarah, but Sarah is not, now Yuri.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
And she does one final jump scare with the roar at the camera.
Roar. Which, by the way, I want to jump back with one thing. When she, before she runs and runs and falls into the cave, what instigates that is she has the, Aiden's phone and finds the picture of
Sarah and then Jess in the tent.
Yeah. Okay.
Which, did she actually find the photo? We never know.
Yeah, we never know.
I'm going to be real, though. I disagree with you. Like, you got all these feelings about Aiden real quick and all that Aiden was bad. I didn't get those same feelings, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, Aiden sure was creepy to some degree, but I always expected everything was in her head.
Well, it could. Yeah, it definitely could. I felt like with Aiden, I felt that he had... when he talked and he revealed so much, it was like, doesn't fit. It doesn't fit right. I was like, it would, if he didn't talk about like, oh, I work for an Australian paper or a magazine or something like that, I'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. I was like, I can understand where it's like, no, I work in Japan. I've been here for a few years. I was like an army rat or something like that. I'm like, that makes sense.
I mean,
but you're from
Australia. You're an American.
I mean,
from Australia, well, from Australia because of work. His story was very convoluted.
Yeah, and then he starts talking about his brother and does not give any details, especially as he's talking to somebody who's going through an emotional state and is giving all these extreme details about, like, oh, how she attempted unaliving herself while in college, or she almost died while in college by accidentally taking too many pills. And yet, he doesn't even give his little brother's name.
So he had later admits to lying about anyway.
Yeah. So it's one thing where, I mean, it's again, so it's like you can notice it or you can. But at the same time, is it really important? Because it's like, is it just the Force that is really messing with her?
I think the job aspect where that was a big red flag for you two isn't for me, because I know a lot of people that work for magazines are freelancers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they work for a bunch of different magazines and stuff like that anyway. Yeah. So, but it is what it is. It's irrelevant.
Well, and then you get to the end of the movie, and the scene where Jess is talking to Rob hurts my brain on so many levels, because the big reveal is she's been in the forest 4 days. Jess was in the forest for about 36 hours and died.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah was in the forest for about 36 hours and died. Jess, who's supposed to be the more mentally unstable of the two, survived for 4 whole days.
The Force really didn't want her.
I guess.
Yeah.
And like I said, we don't know what she was doing. We don't know where she was because...
Yeah.
It feels like a rushed ending. Like, I think they just had to close the story and they didn't have a good way to do it. Because, like we said, she literally just shows up. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I do gotta say, I remember from my notes, my old notes that I forgot, that I lost. I remember one of my biggest issues with this movie being the fact that the first half had, like, 4 or 5 jump scares, and the second half had double digits, had like 15. It's like, gosh, guys, jump scares aren't scary. Let's do something. You created an atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Use it.
And I will say the part where she's getting super skeeved out by Aiden, they successfully create a creepy atmosphere at that moment in the movie.
Yeah.
Her running through the forest at the end, the reveal that she's already dead, that's really creepy, because there's nothing really around her but trees, and then you start seeing all these bodies around her.
Mm. All these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yuri, probably.
Yeah.
So, like, it works well.
Yeah.
I just feel that, they built the tension, they built the atmosphere, and they didn't do anything with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could have went that, I guess they could have went that extra level. But I can understand where it's like, just because this forest is also, especially in the last like several years, especially with that incident with Logan Paul, it's something where it is touchy. So it's like, you can go hard, but there might be people that are very sensitive about it. And again, I mean, as we've just mentioned, that Japan wouldn't even let them film in the forest either. So it's just like, this is something where you kind of have to be careful with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they could have went harder. They really could have.
Yeah, they could have. And what's telling is the director refused to use a stand-in city. All of the Tokyo scenes are in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he was committed to the story that he was telling. They spent the money to shoot on location. Yeah. They found a suitable stand-in for it. Like, that, the effort is there.
Yeah.
But the final product does not match the effort put in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Natalie Dormer is wasted on this movie.
So is the guy that plays Michi.
Yeah.
They're heads more talented than everybody else in the movie, and it's not worth watching these two talented actors ply their craft. It's just not.
No.
Because everybody else is there and does stuff. And that's about the nicest things I can say.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. All in all, I mean, the atmosphere is great. I mean, you don't really see a lot of films like in regards to where the atmosphere and the location is the villain. I mean, yeah, we've seen some films where they're located in like a wooded area, but not to this point. Yeah, I mean, just the simple feeling of just also just being alone in the woods, getting lost in the woods. That's scary enough as it is, but then you have angry, angry ghosts in there, and also there's could be potentially a dead body just hanging around the corner from you, not that far away. Yeah, it's going to be creepy. I wouldn't want to camp there. No.
Couldn't pay me to camp in that forest.
No.
And then I have to go back. I know I harped on it earlier. If I knew that I was with somebody like Michi, who, by the way, just straight up shows his credentials, he proves that he is an expert forest guide for this particular forest. Guess what? If that dude tells me to stick to his butt, do not get 5 feet away from me. And when I say that we're leaving, we're leaving.
I am tying a string to this man. And I am not letting go.
All right, it's getting dark. We're leaving.
Okay.
What's the fastest way out? Let's go. Yes,
let's go get lunch. It's dinner time.
So where are we going for dinner?
Yeah. Sushi? Okay, we're going. But yeah, it's got its pros. It's got its cons. It was a movie. It's a movie. I mean,
all right.
But here's the real question: is it scary?
Parts of it.
Parts of it. Sure. Yeah. If you really, really think about it and kind of just like let it like morph in your brain, it can be a lot more scarier.
I think
that's
honestly
what happened to both of us.
I think the more you think about it, the less scary it is.
Mm.
I think you need to go. I think this is a movie like a dumb action movie where you just turn your brain off and enjoy it.
You kind of have to.
I think that's the best way to enjoy this movie. Just turn your brain off and go about it.
But the part of the movie that works if you let it marinate is the forest.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be terrifying because it's a claustrophobic atmosphere that is naturally created because the forest just grew that tight-knit. So, it would be a very interesting place to visit. I wouldn't go off the path, though.
Mm.
You couldn't pay me to go off the path. But I would go visit that. That would be interesting.
I wouldn't go there. I'd be like, I'm good.
Okay.
Nah.
I'd go.
Nah.
But
bad juju.
Yeah.
There's bad juju all over that place.
But overall, I would give this one, if you're real bored, you can indeed watch it, because this is a movie that was made and released.
Mm-hmm. Those are all true things.
However, overall, I would say you could give this one a pass. It's not the worst movie we've watched for this podcast, but it's definitely in the bottom half of the list.
It's not Lord of Tears.
I will never live that down.
It's real hard.
Monsters.
It'd be real hard to live that. It would have to be a huge stinker to erase Lord of Tears.
Yeah.
The trailer for that was so good.
We haven't talked about that movie in a while.
Well, I mean, that was one of those movies where we'd be like, all right, we're going to put literally all the good parts of the movie in the trailer.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, now it's time for
horror news. So a lot of trailers have come out. So yes, we'll just get the big one out of the way. Evil Dead Rise has been released. It looks bloody. Probably not as bloody as the remake of
Evil Dead. Oh, it was 2013? Yeah.
Yeah. But it looked good.
You mean the one where there's literally raining blood?
Yeah. I think it is like the they broke the record for the amount of blood that they used in like one scene. They just used so many gallons of that crap. But yes, the trailer's been released. It looks good. It looks like they are maybe extending the lore from the reboot, which is fine, because Evil Dead has definitely got one of those cult followings to it, where, and especially with the video game and stuff like that coming out, I feel that it is something where it's got some meat on it that I feel like people can pick at it for a little bit. I'd be curious to see if, thinking back to the reboot, we're going to see a little bit differentiating of the demons. I would like to see that. From what I could see, there was some hints at ones that we've already seen, though. So I was like, I want to see something different.
Well, it seems like the principal character, well, the principal villain in this, who's Ellie, her demon seems way more conversational than any of the other ones we've seen. Like,
right.
Henrietta from Evil Dead 2 talks a lot.
Yeah.
But Ellie seems like she retains some personality.
Right.
I think more into her transformation.
Well, seems like that she's almost like a leader. Like, they keep on saying that she's like a mother.
The mother of all evil.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Phil.
I was just going to say, the only instant where they expanded this heavily before was the TV show, which ended, like, unfortunately, after like 3 seasons.
Mm, okay.
El Jefe.
Do we think Ash is going to show up?
No.
Bruce Campbell's basically retired from acting at this point. He'll have
a cameo with a chainsaw.
Bruce Campbell.
He's too old to do it anymore.
Bruce Campbell.
No, I'm just talking about the cameo itself would just be a chainsaw. Be like, there's Ash. He's right there.
The cameo will be the same as the 2008. Wait. No, I thought it was Hail to the King.
He says something right at the end of the credits. It doesn't matter. It's really been a long time since I've watched it.
It really has.
But it looks good. Like, I'm excited about it. And then, do you guys have anything?
I mean, there's a ton of stuff coming out this year.
Yeah.
Scream
trailer has been released. Or the teaser. I mean, it's going to be a change. I mean, with Scream being set it's not going to be set in the same location. It's set in, like, New York City. So it's like, oh, okay. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, we're going to have a lot of the original cast coming back. So Jenna Ortega, who's huge right now, is coming back, reprising her role as the little sister. So we'll see what happens.
Hayden Panettiere is back, which a lot of people are very happy about.
Yes. I love her.
So for the gamers out there, if you were worried about the new Resident Evil 4 remake having any content cut because they stated they want to reimagine the story, don't worry. Apparently, reimagining the story means we're going to keep everything the same and or add stuff.
I remember the town name. It's Woodsboro. Either way.
So fans of franchise horror.
Okay.
This is your year. So I've been looking at the list of stuff coming out this year. So, let's see. Let me get back to it real quick. Yep, so Scream 6.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Chucky documentary coming out. We already mentioned Evil Dead Rise. Insidious 5. The Meg 2. Let's see. The Nun 2. Saw 10. Ghostbusters 5. There are, I was going to say, if you are a fan of existing stuff, there are a bunch of sequels coming out this year.
I'll be fine with Ghostbusters.
Like, out of all of them, that's the only one.
I was like, I don't want to see any of those.
You don't want to see Insidious 5?
No.
You don't want Scream 6?
No, not really, no.
You don't want the Meg 2?
Heck no. We're already getting Megan.
Megan looks fun.
It does. Wait, you mean you're not ready for Saw 10?
No. I don't want it. No more Saw. No. No more.
You know what that means? We can revise Zach's favorite. Hostel.
I'm going home. I'm just not watching that.
You already are. So I know. Coming.
No, but if y'all want to do Hostel, that's going to be a Zach-free episode. I have no wish to ever watch that. You know what? I'll do Human Centipede before I do Hostel.
You heard this here. Next episode, Human Centipede. No, I'm joking.
One that I'm actually looking forward to because it's kind of, it brings one of Phil's favorite styles of vampire back, and the story is really good, is there's a...
Sparkly ones?
Yes. There's a big budget remake from Warner Brothers of Salem's Lot, directed by James Wan. If everything comes together, we're going to see Nosferatu-style vampires be as creepy as they've been on screen yet. This one has a lot of promise, which means it could be a giant letdown.
I just recently watched Salem's Lot for the first time last year. I was like, I'm going to buy it. And I was like, I watched it. And I was like, damn, this is a long movie.
I like Salem's Lot.
Yeah.
But they do. They are creepy vamps.
Well, yeah, it's somewhere.
We definitely own the book. We need to do more category months, and I guess in regards to we can do like a vampire month and a werewolf month. I think that would be a cool idea. Creature feature month.
We could just do a creature feature month and just talk about creatures.
Sure.
Yes.
Invisible Man.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. So there's also a comedy horror coming out called Renfield.
It's got Nicolas Cage in it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Nicolas Cage is Dracula. Nicholas Holt plays Renfield, and Awkwafina is going to play an angry traffic cop.
Cool. Okay.
So... I'm down. Comedy horror, it can be a whole lot of fun when it's done right. So that'll either be fun or terrible.
Yeah. Oh, also some exciting news. Not until 2025, but Universal Studios is actually opening up another park called Epic Universe. And one of the areas that the park is going to be split up is Classic Universal Monsters. So they will have their own park. Supposedly it's supposed to be designed around like Frankenstein's Village. And like to the point where it's been described that it's like you are stuck in the town, you are the villagers, and pretty much you're just waiting for the next monster to just pop up and you're like ready with your pitchforks.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And yeah, so you got Frankenstein's castle or something that's going to be almost like a mix of
Frankenstein's castle? Yeah,
Dr. Frankenstein's castle, but also like Dracula's castle, but there's, and you'll have the, all of like the Universal monsters. Everybody's going to be there. So that is something that I'm personally very excited about because I love Universal, not sponsored, but that is something for the distant future that is going to be coming soon. So that will be definitely fun. I do not have anything else this time, but yes, we are planning for the next, I think, February for our Wes Craven month.
Yeah, we'll put out another one or two episodes, and then when we get into February, yes, we're going to do at least three Wes Craven films.
Yes.
We're probably going to do Nightmare 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do need to talk about...
Zach needs to talk about his favorite. I need to talk about
this freaking movie.
You can be...
You ready for this six-hour episode?
I mean, other than talking about certain movies of our franchises, because, I mean, Phil, you've talked about the most recent Texas Chainsaw. I've talked about the most recent Halloween.
I got the most recent Hellraiser. That made
exactly.
Me very happy.
I mean, but at the same time, we also haven't talked about our favorites. So you can break
this
that
is
first.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Yes. It is it's a good one. So
and then we do have one more piece that I think Phil should talk about because it's just the trailer is a fever dream.
Is this what I think it is? Cocaine Bear?
Absolutely.
Cocaine Bear! It is fantastic. It feels more like a thriller rather than a horror movie, but oh man.
It's getting news in the horror circles.
I think it's getting news in most circles.
I think, yeah, a lot of people are talking about it because it's also like a comedy too, but then it's also like, I remember watching the trailer and I was like, that Ray Liotta?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is it one of his last movies?
Yes. I was like,
it is his last movie.
I was hello?
Yeah.
It's looks like it's going to be terrifying and funny and ridiculously bloody.
I'm so ready for it. My body is ready.
So definitely be one of those unique films.
We're definitely going to have to talk about that one because, I mean, who doesn't want to talk about 2.5 tons of cocaine frenzy?
Cocaine everywhere.
I'm so excited for it. I didn't know where you were going with that. That was so good.
But and if you have an idea for our next couple of episodes, let us know.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Hit us up on the socials, the Twitters, the Instagrams, and these
Facebooks.
Yeah, the Book of Faces.
It's a lot weirder when you say it like that.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is Zach.
This is Shelby.
This is Phil.
Stay spooky.